Last night at the Vigil Mass over at Mount Carmel, we celebrated the month's Mind Mass for the deceased of Mount Carmel Parish over December and January. Month's Mind Mass is simply sort of a remembrance mass, usually taking place 30 days after the passing of a loved one. It's a means of recollecting their memory and again commending their soul to God. In that mass, we honored many of the departed from Mount Carmel's parish, but also Father Troja. And I found it so fitting that on the weekend that we had this month's Mind Mass, this remembrance of him, we have in our gospel the Beatitudes. Many in our church's history have regarded the Beatitudes as the roadmap, the way forward of Christians, an understanding of how to live like Christ. For these words come to us from Christ as guidance for us, as a means of understanding how we are to act in the world, maybe how we are to see ourselves. And so they're essential for us. And I find it fitting because I think, and maybe a lot of you would agree, that Father Troja sought to live the Beatitudes, and in many ways, he did live them. He was a great example for us of the Beatitudes. Not perfectly, of course, not perfectly, but he's a good example for us of the Beatitudes. So we have 9 Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel, and there was a helpful reflection that kind of helped to categorize these a bit for us. So indulge me, if you will, for me to maybe read from some of this reflection as we go along in the homily. So the first 3 Beatitudes, they speak to being poor. In Luke's Gospel, it specifically says, blessed are those who are poor. Here in Matthew, we have poor in spirit, but poor, meek, and mourning. And Christ, in this message that we get, says, blessed are they who are poor, who are meek, who mourn. And these seem to fly right in the face of the world's depiction of success, of comfort, of pleasure, maybe fulfillment. For the world says, happy are those who are rich, who enjoy life, who get what they want from other people. That's how the world sees pleasure, fulfillment. I mean, rightly so. They lack the light. They need Christ. Without Christ, wealth, pleasure, getting what you want from people, that's the real means to fulfillment. But with Christ, things change. As we see, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. These first 3 Beatitudes reveal that our true happiness does not consist in possessions, pleasure, or in dominance over others. They fly in the face of what the world says. In a sense, they're negations of the way that the world sees how life should be lived. Poor in spirit, being poor, being without possessions, does not mean you lack anything. Possessions aren't bad. Possessions can be good. But sometimes, obviously, they get in the way of our understanding of our call to be Christians, our call to be Christ followers. So freedom from them, it can be a blessing. Those who mourn, how is that blessed? Well, mourning is a sign that you have a heart, that you love and can love. So it's really, there's blessing in the fact that we can love, that we have a heart, that our life isn't consisted around being a robot who does actions, but that there are interactions as relationships. So blessed are we that we can mourn. And meek. Meekness is not weakness. It's not being without power. It's power under control. It's choosing to control our power for a reason. Those first 3, as I mentioned, are sort of flying in the face of the world, negations of the world. And that's maybe how we can understand this a little bit. The next 3 aside from being negations of the world from the first three, these next three are sort of positive inclinations, as this reflection speaks of them. Positive inclinations for us to help us understand how we can live, not just how we shouldn't live or understand the world, these negations, these first three, but how we can live as Christ. So hungering and thirsting for righteousness, showing mercy, being merciful, being clean of heart. Blessed are those who have these things. This reflection says this. These three beatitudes establish positive inclinations within our soul. Hungering for righteousness is a desire for wholeness, healing, and union with God. It speaks of mercy next. Blessed are those who are merciful. Mercy, as it says here, designates the principal sentiment which inspires God in his work of salvation. Mercy is how God treats us. It's the reason he sent his son for us, mercy, to save us. We see it every day, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, when we go to confession. God in his mercy continues to forgive us. And he will continue to so long as we ask. Mercy is essential. It's a hallmark of salvation. And it says this, when we show mercy, we resemble God. It's essential for us. And last, being clean of heart allows us to love without selfishness or manipulation. That's key. To love without selfishness or manipulation. To love like Christ. To be clean of heart, to gain pure hearts, we can simply pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That can be a prayer we pray every day. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I may love without selfishness, that I may not love for something from the other. And the last three of these beatitudes, blessed are makers, and blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and then also persecuted because of our title as Christians. These last three, they're the tough ones. Being a peacemaker, standing between contentious objects and seeking to quell. Being able to endure persecution, that's difficult. This reflection speaks about how essential having the first six is of first negating our understanding of how we should live in the world and also having these positive inclinations. It says that having these first six are essential for us if we seek to be peacemakers, if we seek to be able to endure persecution. Without them, we'll struggle. We're given the Beatitudes as a roadmap for us, as reminders for us, maybe as metrics for us to reevaluate our life monthly, yearly, to see, am I one who is blessed in these eyes, or do I see myself as blessed in the eyes of the world? Maybe today we can reconsider or again engage in our life as Christians and follow after the example that Christ has given us, an example that Father Troja showed us pretty well, and hopefully that we can show the world through our lives. Amen.